speaking today with State Representative Anna Hernandez, who represents District 143. Representative, you were elected in a special election in 2005. You serve, I guess your first full term was served in 07, so you've now served two full terms in office. Was it what you thought it would be when you first ran?
Well, each session has been different. I served in a special session in April and May of 06, and then the two regular sessions in 07 and 09, and then the two-day special session at the end of 09. And I think every session has been different. I started working as staff in 1998, so I also served as staff for sessions in 99, 01, and 03. And each one has been different.
How does it feel after having been staff? How does it feel to be the person on the spot?
Well, I will say, as staff, it was during a Democratic majority, so things were definitely different. I was elected, and it was Speaker Craddock who was Speaker, and it was Republican majority, and that has slowly changed. We were more closely divided last session with 74-76. 76 Republicans, 74 Democrats. And then, of course, at the end of session, Representative Chuck Hobson switched over, so we're now 77-73. But I think it's been better each session in that there isn't such a huge difference between Democrats and Republicans, and we do have to work with each other and reach across the aisle to get things done.
And since you had one regular session under each speaker, how would you compare Speaker Craddock and Speaker Strauss?
Well, we were hopeful at the beginning of last session, given that Speaker Strauss was elected with so many Democrats, 64 Democratic members supporting him. We're a bit disappointed once the committee assignments came out and saw that not a whole lot changed. There were more Democratic chairman positions, but not in the key committees that we would have liked.
And what do you have in mind for that?
Well, we'll definitely see. I think we don't really know what the landscape's going to be until after November 2nd when we see who's in the majority and by what margin. So I'm hopeful. I mean, it's three seats, and I'm hopeful that we will be able to pick up those three seats and protect those incumbents as well.
Now, tell me a little bit about the committees that you've been on and the work you've done. What do you feel like you've accomplished?
Well, we have been meeting over the interim for committee hearings, and the committee in which I serve, Pensions, Investments, and Financial Services, deals with issues that I have not been familiar with in the past, mostly finance, and I'm a political science psychology major attorney. It's been a learning curve for me in that committee, but something I've enjoyed serving on the committee. And an issue that's come to my concern are the payday loans. Just on the way here, you heard two commercials back-to-back on payday lenders, and that's an issue that my committee has purview, and I plan to work on that for next session.
Okay. Obviously, the big issue upcoming will be the budget. There's a shortfall of $18 billion, according to Appropriations Chair Jim Pitts. How do you want to see the legislature handle this, to deal with it?
Well, we saw the same thing happen in 2003 when the projected deficit was $10 billion, and this is even more. $18 billion is the projected. It could be more by the time we're in Austin in January. And I think it's important that we review the budget and go line by line all the programs that are funded by the state and see which are most effective and efficient in terms of using taxpayer dollars. I don't think we should cut services, funding for direct services to our constituencies. For example, mental health services, when they cut that funding, the community still needs to have programs that will be able to help them with their family members. And you can't just put that off to law enforcement, which is what will happen. If they're not able to receive the treatment that they need, they're going to call police and tell, come help me. I can't handle my family member. And I don't think that's the proper way to handle such a situation. I mean, we need to provide services.
So what do you think the priorities should be? I mean, are there areas, do you already have areas in mind that you think there should be more cuts focused on, or do you think more attention needs to be paid on the revenue side?
I think, yeah, in terms of what's already in the budget, focus on those programs that do provide direct services and those that will also, I mean, we also want to reduce the number of state employees that will be laid off.
Okay. Where do you think the state should be looking for new revenues?
Well, I know there's been talk about gambling. And they've had hearings on gambling. I don't feel that that issue has been studied enough. There's lots of different types of gambling and how that will affect other projects, other programs already in place in our community, like the churches that are allowed to do bingo and the work that they do with the revenue that's generated from their bingo. So I think there's a lot that needs to be studied on gambling, the different types, and how it'll affect our state. Because if we want to do it, we want to do it right. And I don't think it's been studied enough to be able to do that.
Do you anticipate at this time supporting or not supporting a joint resolution that would need to be passed in order to enable a constitutional amendment to allow gambling?
I don't think we're far along in the discussion to even start counting votes. That it hasn't been presented. I mean, I haven't seen the plan, what kind of gambling. I know there was a hearing on these destination gambling or expanding to slot machines on our racehorse tracks. And I haven't seen a plan that I feel comfortable with to be able to move forward and start discussing that for next session.
Okay. Your district is one that's in or close to an industrial area. It's not far from the Ship Channel. There's been a lot of bickering, if you will, between the state of Texas and the federal government over the EPA coming in and denying permits and more strictly enforcing clean air standards that they say that the state has not been doing. What's your stance on this?
Well, it was the industry that filed the suit that asked the EPA to make a ruling on the Texas flexible permits, and it seems they're not very happy with the EPA's decision and how they're moving forward. So now it's kind of like, wait a minute, we want to go back to where we were. And so I do believe that it does need to be reviewed, and our flexible permits need to be reviewed, especially since we have, I mean, as you drove on the way here, you saw all of the communities that live on the fence line of industry. It's important that before those permits are granted, reauthorized, that they be reviewed for, I mean, what impact they have in to neighbors.
I mean, you filed environmental legislation in past sessions. Do you believe the state of Texas and the TCEQ does an adequate job, or do you believe that more legislative oversight is needed?
No, I think more legislative oversight is needed. I don't think they've done enough to protect the communities that live on the fence line.
You know, the argument against has been that more regulations would cost jobs. Do you have any?
No, I think, and that's why I think it's important that you have the environmental groups and industry working together to strike that balance. There should be a balance between protecting the environment and protecting jobs.
Okay. Public education, of course, is a big part of the budget and is likely to, be targeted for some cuts. What do we need to do to adequately fund public education in this state, and do you believe that, we need to rethink how we educate our children, given that, the elementary school and high school populations these days is rapidly changing, is more Latino, more diverse, and maybe doesn't learn the same way that previous generations did.
Right. I think it is very, troubling when we see the statistics and the dropout rates, especially in the Latino community, and being able to reach out to those students, especially at the middle school level, which is where you lose children and they kind of go off on a different path. I think it's important that we have sufficient funding for our schools and allowing the teachers to use innovative ways to reach out to the students. I think we do too much legislating on what our teachers should do and tying their hands and allowing them to teach how they best see fit.
Do you think there's too much of an emphasis on high-stakes testing?
Definitely.
And how would you...
Definitely.
If you had your way, what would you do about it?
Right. I mean, that's the number one complaint we've received from teachers is that they're just teaching for the test. And it doesn't allow them to use different ideas that they may have to help these students learn and retain the information and not just for the test.
Okay. I know that there are other, besides the budget, other issues that are going to be
redistricting.
Important. Well, redistricting is one. Let's start with that. I was going to also bring up immigration, but we'll get to that next. Obviously, 2011 is a redistricting year, as you know, from 2003 and from 2001. That doesn't generally go very smoothly. How would you like to see it go in 2011?
Well, I'd like for us to be able to receive the official data from D.C. early so we can start early. Word we've heard is that it could be as late as March before we receive the official data. So we'd like to get a head start, but there's no telling when we'll be able to receive that data to have the final numbers for redrawing the districts. I think a lot will also depend on the November 2nd elections and the makeup of the House. And there are so many issues, big issues, coming up with all the sunset agencies, the budget, immigration, voter ID, that I think it will also depend in what order those issues are taken up, whether the House will continue to move forward or completely shut down as it has in the past.
And voter ID was an issue that brought the House to a screeching halt last year. Democrats used procedure I don't think anyone had anticipated, chubbing, to take up time on the calendar, and that did succeed in killing voter ID. It also unfortunately succeeded in preventing a lot of bills that, you know, you and I would have liked from ever being passed. Do you think that was too high a price to pay? Or
no, I don't think so. I don't think so because every citizen should have the right to vote, and I think that's what we were protecting by chubbing, to ensure that everyone would be allowed to exercise the right to vote without being suppressed, without going to the voting polls and asked for a proper ID that matches their Social Security number card that matches, I mean, all the names. As a recent newlywed, I'm thinking about those issues that I have to go and change my Social Security card, my driver's license, my voter registration, my utility bills. All of those, I mean, it takes time to make all that documentation be identical in name. And that would have affected women and seniors that don't necessarily have all of that in order.
Hypothetically, is there common ground that could be reached on the voter ID issue? If the Republicans came to you and came to Democrats and said, you know, we will give up, I don't know, we'll make it easier to register, and we will do some other things if we can pass a voter ID bill where you have to present a photo ID. Do you see that possibility, or do you see it basically as a line in the sand?
It's searching for a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. We don't have problems with people going to the polls, especially not in the immigrant community. They want to stay away, as far away as they can from any type of documentation, identification. But so I really don't see why we need to create a solution for a problem that doesn't exist.
Okay. Did you say the immigrant community, as you know, a couple of your colleagues in the House want to file a bill that would pass a law in Texas similar to that had been passed in Arizona to empower local law enforcement to enforce immigration laws. You know, I'm going to presume here that you're not in favor of that, but talk to me about...
You're correct.
talk to me a little bit about, you know, where you think this is coming from and what, if anything, you think the state of Texas should be doing regarding immigration and border control, border security.
Well, I don't think that similar legislation should be introduced in Texas, but I have colleagues that have already expressed their intent to present similar legislation in Texas. And considering the budget deficit, we don't need to spend additional resources defending this legislation in the courts when we know it's unconstitutional.
Okay. Your district is heavily Latino, a lot of immigrants, and, you know, on the lower end of the income scale, and those things combined generally lead to low voter turnout. Your district, you know, generally is on the lower end of that. You know, there's been a lot of talk, not just this year, but in previous years, about, you know, how to get more Latinos to the polling place. What do you think about that?
Well, what I think as candidates, we need to be out in our community and reminding our constituents, our community, that there are elections coming up. I think what happens is a lot of people just assume we're in safe Democratic districts, there's no need to worry. But it's not just about our race, it's about the entire ticket. And we need that turnout to help our friends get elected. We're going to have a Democratic Party field office down the street here opening next week, and we hope to use that office to kind of motivate, you know, and get the community engaged and let them know that there's an election going on and make sure that they turn out.
Do you see evidence of an enthusiasm gap in your district? You know, the national story is that Republicans are more excited about voting, Democrats are, you know, disillusioned or not so interested. Do you see that in your district, and how do you deal with it?
Well, I see, especially in the Latino community, I see, and a lot of them are watching what's happening in Arizona, and are hoping the same thing doesn't happen here in Texas. And so that's where we hope to be able to continue to keep the Latino community focused on what's happening and the possibilities of that happening in Texas as a motivation for them to go out and vote in November.
Okay. And when people go to vote in November and they come to your race on the ballot, why should they vote to send you back to Austin?
Well, I think we have not stopped working since I started 5 years ago. We make sure that we provide constituent services for our community. We get lots of calls here in the office and lots of people walking in. Make sure to place my district office in a convenient location where people can feel free to come in and seek services from the state. We are here to help them. And I think each legislation, they're making an investment in me to continue serving them, and I would like to continue doing that.
Representative Anna Hernandez, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.